Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
Oh my goodness, it is amazing. You know, within the first day that I started taking the three capsules, I felt a difference in my energy level. I've never had anything hit me that quickly. I take a walk every day because I have enough energy now to take a walk. And I ran into a neighbor. She was asking me, "What in the world have you been doing? You look wonderful. You're losing weight and you look great and your color is just wonderful." And I said, "It's this product." And I told her all about it. So it's an amazing product, and God bless you for coming up with it.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So appreciate you tuning in today. I've got Uncle Milty. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
We are live, and of course, the call-in number is 888. See how easy that is? 888-673-1450. 673-1450. And you can call up and you can talk to myself, Uncle Milty. I was going to say me, myself, and I. Hey, it's a Monday. Don't judge. And, of course, the great Dr. Duke Pesta, who we have, the king of rants, the amazing professor, one of the very few last conservative professors in America. We're so grateful for him and his voice and his show that plays on my, it actually, you can, there's one outlet on my, there's an outlet for his show, I should say, on my page, the Kate Daly Show page, that plays live every day after this show. You can catch it. But the great Dr. Duke Pesta, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Excellent, good. Excellent. It's a Monday, but excellent. And, you know, I have to say, right out of the gate, I was so alarmed at Time Magazine. We have to talk about this for just a second before the Super Bowl, because the Time Magazine piece was, it was so insane that they actually admitted, that it was, in fact, let me give you the words. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes. They're talking about the election. One that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. And the pact was formalized in a terse, little-noticed joint statement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO published on Election Day. Both sides would come to see it as sort of an implicit bargain, inspired by the summer's massive, sometimes destructive racial justice protests, in which the forces of labor came together with the forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy. So basically, they fortified it, stole it, and looked at it as a gift they were giving to America by the stealing of it. Amazing that they admitted it.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, we've talked about this before. The huge problem that we have now is we live in what I called last week on your show, post-America, right? Because whatever this is, we're in a post-American system. And I got to ask you guys, you know, and no one can answer me. Can anybody give me examples, just an example or two? First of all, of how Trump attacked democracy. What was he doing? I'm still scratching my head. The impeachment for Russia collusion turned out to be a big nothing burger. Mm-hmm. The when they say that he attacked democracy, you try to find out how. I mean, he energized more people on a popular level than anybody in my lifetime, and he he tried to protect the core values of America in a way that this bargain that Time Magazine talks about flaunts openly. And the most ominous thing about that Time Magazine article, besides the fact that they admit it, the fact that they are comfortable admitting that tells you that they see this is the future, that we've passed into another phase of whatever you want to call the American experience. Now we're in a new phase where the power does lie with corporations and those who control media. And so the Democrats were only too willing to play along with this because they were going to be the beneficiaries of this. But this, you know, the tech companies, the information companies, and big business decided that Trump was bad for business somehow. Mm-hmm. And the way they framed it was that he was some kind of anti-democratic figure, a demagogue. When in reality, what they were really after was securing the profits for mega corporations. I mean, look at who benefits cui bono and look who suffers in what Time magazine said. The big winners are the big global international businesses. They're the ones, the huge oligarchies, the ones that control almost every international aspect of our lives. And who were the big losers? The big losers were the American entrepreneurial class, the middle class Americans, the person who wanted to go out and start a new business. America has been great primarily for the last 100 years because it's a place where the middle class can thrive, where anybody can open a business, anybody can take a stab at opening something for themselves, a private business, invent something, create a market for something. And what you saw here was not Donald Trump's attack on democracy, which again, I'm still demanding you show me evidence of. It is a consolidation of power by these oligarchies to make sure that the middle class is going to go away, as it's gone away in every other country that's turned towards globalism. And two, it's a very cynical way of helping to stomp out what was becoming a globalist populist mission led by Donald Trump.
Yeah, I have to say this sentence because this sentence pretty much says it all. They said, in a way, Trump was right, okay, about a conspiracy, a shadow government that was controlling all of this and doing this. And this was the sentence. The handshake between business and labor was just one component, just one, of a vast cross-partisan campaign. The rhinos, the Mitt Romneys, plus the Democrats, right, to protect, they use the word protect the election, an extraordinary shadow effort dedicated not to winning the vote, but ensuring it would be free, fair, credible, and uncorrupted.
That's as they were corrupting it.
And
the only way you measure free and all that other stuff is if you voted for Democrats. This is Soviet Orwellian speak on a level you'd never think you'd hear in a progressive mainstream magazine. This is an open thumb in your a thumb in the eye to all of us who actually thought we lived in a free country.
Yes, and no one can answer your question. You know why? Because they never, ever explain it. They only use it in rhetoric. His assault, he damaged America, he did this, he did that, but they can never explain how or why. Uncle Milty?
The only way the only reason they get away with this is because they totally control the media. Many people know individually that this is not what really happens.
Yep. They even went on to say their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems. And I'm going to add the word illegally. Mm-hmm. And laws.
At the last hour, too.
Yep. And helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. I mean, this was... Oh, also, they added this. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits and recruited armies of poll workers and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time, knowing that they could do this.
And these armies of poll watchers are exactly how you have thousands of affidavits claiming stealing going on, which now no one is going to investigate.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they told you. The fact that they could look you in the eye and told you exactly what they did tells you that they are in no fear that this is going to change anytime soon.
Yep.
And again, look what they've done since the election. Anytime somebody speaks out, I mean, anytime somebody tries to put forth the truth, what was this? Did either of you see the Absolute Truth video?
I have. Yep. Oh, I watched part of it, but I haven't watched the entire thing yet. But the part I saw with Dr. Shiva was awesome.
And it's all been banned now. It's all been cleaned off of all the different servers.
You can find it on Rumble.
Very few people are getting to see it. Mm-hmm. It's not getting any national traction anymore. And that's what you're going to see here. Anybody who disagrees, and that means sooner or later they're coming for us too. We're relatively low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. But they can't. They can't let – talk radio is going to have to be co-opted.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt about it because it's a huge format that they don't control right now.
Oh, 100%. I remember this from the Hillary. We thought if Hillary took the White House, she actually said that radio was going to be ousted. Mm-hmm.
But when Uncle Melty can come out and just look you in the eye and say, look, we cheated to save you from yourselves. We're in deep trouble.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right about the fact that admitting it is a whole new territory because they're not afraid anymore.
No.
And this is why they have so many articles saying how the election wasn't stolen. You always can tell when people are lying if they have to constantly shore up their lie
right.
in media and restrict people from saying it, like they did Mike Lindell on that one mm-hmm. show, and the guy walked off on Newsmax.
Yep, that's what they do. And the purge is underfoot. I mean, you know, this is why it was so hard to be anything but depressed when we saw the election results, mm-hmm. because it did signal something very, and it also confirmed something, guys. What we were seeing on the street, what we were seeing at the, you know, mm-hmm. in the 48 hours leading up to the election, Trump was turning the tables, that the mood of the country, the mood of the people was starkly against these global plutocrats.
Yes.
What we didn't foresee is how much far in advance they began working on these election strategies, even though the big tech companies told us in January 2017, I mean, not a month into mm-hmm. Trump's first term, they were telling us never again would they make this mistake.
Yep.
Right, that they really underestimated the Trump phenomenon. They didn't think he was. They were so relieved that it wasn't Cruz or some of these other guys, Marco Rubio or somebody, Scott Walker. They thought when they killed off the Republican field and Trump was the last man standing, they packed it in. They mm-hmm. thought this was a foregone conclusion. Well, they made sure it's never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the election and subsequent, let's call it what it is, the 4-year campaign to undermine a president that actually succeeded in a coup. There's your insurrection, guys, right there.
Mm-hmm.
What Time Magazine did. There's your insurrection.
Yeah.
That the 4-year undermining of a legitimate president as payback for what happened to Hillary Clinton. That's the moment. That's the moment when not only did the country turn down a road that's going to be almost impossible to come back for, but that they felt comfortable bragging about it.
Absolutely, Uncle Milty.
You know, the only thing that gives me any hope at all still is it still took them a long time after the election to get everything quieted down.
Yes, and it still isn't. But, you know, I was thinking about this last night. We need a visual representation. Wouldn't it be interesting if everybody put something very large and huge on their roof, right? Like red, something red that said, I voted Trump, just to get the visual optics of what this country would look like if you got to see the proof of who everybody voted for. We need something very visual, right?
Just look at the county maps. I mean, mm-hmm. It's one big red state,
yes.
red country, except for a couple of clusters of big cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just meant like even more personal than that. Somebody saying, no, this is exactly who I voted for. This is exactly what my intent was.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't do anything to that. They couldn't hide that. They couldn't.
I guarantee you Google aerial search would shut you down if you tried that.
You're exactly right. They would. That's the sad part is that's the state that we're in right now.
Inciting. The word now is inciting.
Yeah.
Everything. Well, how about what happened with Facebook? Facebook now, if you disagree with Joe Biden's transgender rules, right? Biden mm-hmm. said, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that transgender kids can play any sport they want. Forget girls, forget young mm-hmm. women. Any boy who thinks he's a girl is allowed to play. Right away, Facebook went into this mode. Anybody who disagreed with publicly disagreed with that was mm-hmm. silent in the name of incitement. I expected to be silenced, but not in the name of incitement to riot.
We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with Dr. Duke Pester from the Dr. Duke Show. You can find that. Google it. You can find it. And Uncle Milty and myself. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
So don't worry.
Welcome back. You know, I'm playing it for Black History Month, you know, as we get reminded every 5 minutes about Black History Month. Anyway, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I have Uncle Milty. I have Dr. Duke. Uncle Milty?
Hi.
Hi. Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that I find it interesting that during Black History Month, there really aren't a lot of blacks that can tell you much about black history.
That's very true. I've talked a lot about, we've talked a lot about Black history on the show, and it's kind of surprising the whole different version that we tell. That's interesting.
Let me go back even further. As a professor of English who has a degree in history,
sure,
there really isn't much Black history. In the same way, there really isn't much Native American history.
Right.
Their cultures were oral for thousands of years. They really built no enduring cities. There was no real literary output because they didn't have codified language that you can read and write. And so consequently, there isn't that much. The history, and I've said many times that I call it the school of resentment, a term I borrowed from Harold Bloom, the old English professor at Yale. These people belong to the school of resentment. They can't point to great highs in their own history. They can't point to earth-changing inventions. They can't point to great civilizational leaps forward for humankind. They can't do it. Mm-hmm. All they can do is gripe about the places that they came to run away from the blight of their own places, or in the case of African Americans, where they were enslaved and taken from. But again, the idea that blacks in Africa that ended up over here were part of some great civilizational culture that created enduring legacies, the most you can say about those Africa tribes was how quick they were to sell their own Black brothers and sisters to white people in slavery. That's about the point of it.
Amen. I mean, honestly, it should be Black Social Justice Warrior Month, because that's really what it's about. It isn't really about their history. And we've done shows on how the only reason that we have we had Black slaves for life was because of a Black slave who owned Black slaves, who took it to court in Pennsylvania in the 1600s and said, I want it for life, not just servitude, not just 10 years servitude. I want it longer than that. And they granted him that. They'll never admit that, though. So that's why I say our version, when we're talking about Black history, these are the parts they'd like to ignore.
Well, you know, the other thing that's funny about it is, notice how we've changed. So many subtle things have changed over the last 20 years. But what used to be the opportunity factor, right? Why do people come to this country? Even still, why do Black and brown skin people come to this country? They come for opportunity. Now, within the last 10 years, we've changed that. There is no opportunity here if you're Black or brown skin. Forget the fact that you've got Kamala as vice president. Forget the fact that you had Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Forget the fact that you have billionaire Black people and millionaire Black people. There's no opportunity for Black people here. And so that's the new thing. So how do we account for the fact that every Black isn't rich? How do we account for the fact that every Black doesn't have three cars and a house in the suburbs? You're not allowed to say, hey, why don't you go out and get you some of what everybody else has got? Why don't you apply yourself to the opportunities you have in this great country? That's now racism, right? Yep. And so rather than trying to help people of all disadvantages, of all colors who are disadvantages, to work harder to find opportunities, to find avenues, you just now blame it all on white culture. So you don't have it because of whitey. And if that's true, you're never going to have it. And forget all the people who succeeded. Forget all the people who look like you who succeeded. Fact is that you've been told now by your seventh grade teacher that if you're Black, you can't get ahead. And so that allows you to A, be lazy, B, to have no vision, C, not to try very hard, and D, and that allows you to completely trash what others have built rather than trying to participate in it. It's the weirdest thing in the world. The freest country in the history of the world that has offered more opportunity to more people, genuine opportunity to people of every different race, creed, religion, and ethnicity, is now being painted as the most narrow-minded, white, singularly white, nasty country in the history of the world. It's the big lie. How did we go in the space of less than a decade from demonstrably being the country that has taken more immigrants from more places across the world over the last 200 years than any country in the history of the world, finding places for those people, assimilating them into Americans, right? All of that stuff that for 150 years was the pride of world history became somehow the most exclusionary, selfish, greedy, vicious, violent, ruthless culture in the history of the planet. It's none of it true, but you repeat the lie long enough, it becomes truth. The bigger the lie, the more you repeat it, the more people believe it. That's it. It's simply a completely fictional construct. And yet, the media signed on to it. The media, who's supposed to tell the truth, is now all about opinion. Politicians who are supposed to swear oaths to the Constitution, defend only their party politics, companies and corporations who were supposed to do their share to give back to the country who gave them so much, now only look to protect their own prerogatives and to destroy lesser people, to eradicate those young entrepreneurs who, if the Gates of the world, if the Jobs of the world, if the Bezoses of the world have their way, they made billions off the American system, and nobody you know ever will again.
Yeah, Uncle Milty.
I just don't understand how they can keep that fiction going with all of the evidence that anybody that opens their eyes should be able to see people can be successful.
Milty, they've got the public schools from kindergarten through high school. In a couple of years, though, you watch, Biden will create mandatory pre-K. They will have the kids from 3 all the way through 27. They own all of the colleges. They own all. And when kids get out of school and they hate it and they want to turn someplace, they turn to entertainment, right? And they can listen to the rap stars and they can go watch the basketball players. And they're not watching games anymore. They're hearing nonstop propaganda. And then they can go get away from that. Let's go watch a movie. Boom, you get more of it. Let's sit down and watch the Super Bowl and that ridiculous halftime show where you're being lectured to again. They own every meaningful way we communicate or present imagery to our children. Everything, they own it. Yeah. And there's no other way around it. The only alternative, we used to have the church, and the church in this country just quit.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Half the churches, including the entire Roman Catholic Church, decided they were going to go full woke, right? Welcome the open borders. Welcome the no law, no rule of law when it came to crossing borders. And that they would push the destruction of our own cities in the name of fake protests. Well, we're going to let that stand. The problem, Milty, is who? Where do you look outside of the responsibility of parents to raise their kids a certain way? Where can you look to in this country where you see anyone actually accurately and sympathetically promoting this country and its history?
Yeah. In fact, we were watching the Super Bowl last night, right? And the commercials were your nice reminder of you hateful, racist nation and how you need to be kinder and come together. Every single act they had singing was black. You had, I mean, I think the country honestly was squirming a little bit when they were doing the national anthem just to see if anyone was going to try to pull something off, because they were given the platform to. That's what I can't understand about this. Just even watching that last night was very interesting. What were your thoughts on that?
Clearly professional sports in this country now is an adjunct of social justice. It is not above it. It is not separate from it. They get their marching orders from the social justice movement now. Mm-hmm. And so everything about it, all of the nonsense propaganda on the shirts and the helmets, all of the end zone BS, all of the staged, manufactured, on the one hand, showcasing how wonderful our African-American citizens are, and then constantly trumpeting how bad the rest of we are. This was not about unity. Mm-hmm. It's one more way to divide people. It's also, you watch when the numbers come out, it will be among, if not the least watched Super Bowls in American history.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And, you know, I was watching this and I was thinking about the fact that, you know, most of America is sitting there. And if you have a black act, I've never, ever, and I've viewed almost every Super Bowl, I've never thought about it twice. But you know why we're thinking about it now? It isn't because we're trying to come together. It's because we're trying to see what they're trying to turn this into, this opportunistic moment in history. And I think that's what bugs me the most. I'm watching it through totally different eyes going, they are trying to divide. They are trying to redesignate their history. They are trying to do this, and they're given every platform in the book. Like you said, the most woke Super Bowl ever, and it was the most boring Super Bowl ever. Commercials were horrible. It was just not fun to watch. I'd rather have a root canal.
If we may as well be blunt, if sooner or later they're coming for us anyway, we might as well be blunt. You look at cultural appropriation, right? You look at this idea that somehow white people are going around stealing things from black people. And what is it always? Haircuts, dangling earrings, celebrating Cinco de Mayo by having beer in a Mexican restaurant. All that's cultural appropriation. Right. It's all nonsense. It's all what we're stealing, so-called stealing from minority culture, is trivial. Yep. Meanwhile, let's look at how minorities utilize this culture. how they appropriate, and I'm not going to say our culture because they belong here too, but they're the ones who have set themselves against this culture, right? Mm-hmm. It is blacks and minorities now who have decided they don't belong here. They deserve better than here. That somehow they alone have been mistreated here. That they're entitled to something that has never been granted in the history of the world. A nationwide engagement in self-repentance and some kind of huge reparation payout. Okay, I didn't set them against us. They did. And my point is, look at what they co-opt from America and from the West every day. Their language, their opportunities, the jobs, the technology they use, the cars they drive, the electricity that they use in their homes. I mean, it's ironic to me that it's a microaggression to appropriate something, to wear a Malcolm X t-shirt if you're white on Martin Luther King Day. That's somehow an appropriation. But look at what on a daily basis, what would these cultures be if you took away everything that Western culture built? And another thing I'm sick and tired of, mm-hmm. this idea that slaves built America, with all due respect, first of all,
not true.
With all due respect, slaves are the people who do the lowest of the grunt work.
Yep.
Right? They're not the intellectuals. They're not the innovators. They're not the inventors. Would America have found a way to survive if the South never owned slaves? Sure. Would industrialization have come to America if 6 or 7 Southern states never held slaves? Absolutely. Was it the lack? Was it the dependence on slaves and the lack of mechanization that destroyed the South in the Civil War? Yeah. So please tell me, in what meaningful sense, other than picking cotton, right? In what meaningful sense can you honestly say that America was built on slavery? By all means, give slaves due for what they did. They were treated horrifyingly. They had terrible jobs to do, the most debased of all grunt work they did. Mm-hmm. But that's a far cry from saying that because of slaves brought to this country, that's a huge co-opting of Western culture, isn't it? Because slaves were brought here for a certain period of time. That means that the slaves are responsible for the creation of computers and civilization and cars and airplanes. It's just not true. Sick of pretending. It is. It's just not true.
Yep. Uncle Milton.
And yet, since the beginning of the 20th century, the white population has decreased percentage-wise by about 16%. The black population has stayed the same. All the others have increased. Mm-hmm. Asian has increased tremendously.
Right.
Even Native Americans increased during that period of time.
Even the number of slave owners in the South was such a tiny, tiny minority and really held a tiny number of slaves. There weren't as many as people think there is. And that's what... Our history is so skewed. And by the year 2021, we are such a different society anyway. To keep conjuring this up and playing this narrative over and over and over again, people are tired of it. We're tired of it.
Name another country in the history of the world who spends this much time feeling bad about it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, and having it heaved upon them every 5 seconds so that you're just silent. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Say, I got a woman way over town. Good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need.
Hi there.
Yeah,
another song from the oppressed Ray Charles. And the Super Bowl, given to us by oppression of the players and the singing acts, all of whom, oh, of course, they don't make over $1 million, of course. But before we go there, I just wanted to mention Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature, what a product. 31 fruits and vegetables, and I'm talking tomatoes and mushrooms and all those things, all dialed down, the water and air taken out, and the nutrients remain, and that's what you get. And it's 3 capsules of fruits, 3 capsules of veggies. I wouldn't talk about a product unless I absolutely loved it. And if I didn't see the effects of it, I have. And Uncle Milty has too.
Oh, yeah.
You love this product.
No, I really do. I love it.
I know. And I'm telling you, if you want to maintain your health, get over to Balance of Nature. Put in my name, Kate, as the code, K-A-T-E. You'll get 35% off and free shipping right now. If you want to turn your health around this year, something that you do have control over, I would suggest Balance of Nature. You should be taking a food supplement, by the way. And if you're not, you should be taking one. You're not getting any nutrients out of the food we're eating. hardly any. It's so sparse. So make sure that you're getting Balance of Nature every single day. Everybody should be taking a food supplement. And Balance of Nature was the cream of the crop product. Okay, back here with you. We were just talking about the fact, the oppressed Ray Charles, the oppressed singers, the everybody that is making gazillions is telling us how oppressed they are. If they're so oppressed, how did Ray Charles make it? How did Aunt Jemima make it?
Ray Charles was blind. He didn't know he was black. That's the only, according to the social justice warriors, the only way, right? Yeah. I mean, if poor Ray had ever had the chance to see himself, he would realize that he had no singing talent and would have immediately gone on the line for free bread and cheese because that's the only thing available, right?
Well, people don't realize that Ray Charles could not have been Ray Charles 300 years ago, 500 years ago. And we look at America and we denounce America? Are you kidding? This was the country that freed us from slavery. It only took the first 80 years to do it for centuries.
The single greatest thing that Candace Owen ever says, and if she says nothing else for the rest of her life, the greatest thing she's ever said is the true thing. That there is no country in the history of the world where blacks were treated better than they are today in this one. There is no country, even ones controlled by black people, where blacks had the freedom and the opportunity they have in this one. I mean, you can criticize this culture all you want. The fact that you are allowed to criticize this culture all you want, even to lie about it, tells you that you have way more going for you here to be black in this country than in any other place in the history of the world where black people have lived.
Yeah.
The black race is no different than any other race. The successful intellectual black people, the cream of the crop, don't want the lower class blacks to do better. They want to be the charge people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you might want to explain too. A lot of people might not understand what critical race theory is because they're getting this term coined all the time. You want to explain that, Dr. Pesta?
Yeah, I the first time it's been around for a long time under different names. Mm-hmm. And you trace it back to its origin. You go to the middle of the 19th century and you get Marxist dialectic, right?
Right.
After Marx wrote his really rather failed economic treatise that became a sociological powerhouse. I mean, he was a failed economist, Marx. Mm-hmm. No one's screaming that Marxist economics works, never has worked. But his Marxist failed economic principles were adopted as sociological gospel. And at that point, then, you get Marxist dialectic. It's all the things we've been talking about today. That it's all about the collective, not the individual. It is first and foremost atheism, right? Mm-hmm. First law of the Marxist is there is no God. So it's atheist, and then once you get rid of God, then don't treat people as individuals. Treat them as power groups that you can empower to take over. Critical race theory over the years, you saw it in the 1960s as liberation theology.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the American Catholic seminaries were undermined by Marxist dialectic masquerading as Christianity. And you want proof of what that turns to? Just take a look at Pope Francis. That's what you get, right? So it's been called different times, different things at different times. In the universities, particularly in humanities departments, in the late 80s, I saw this creep in. Late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, this came in. And what it was the application of Marxist dialectic, as they did to Catholic theology in the 60s, so they did to university pedagogy in the humanities in the 80s. And what happened is you stopped seeing history or philosophy or science even as discrete forms of knowledge that could be mastered. People could get degrees in it. You could go about proving things with them, right? Mm-hmm. You could prove that Western culture was superior to other cultures. You could prove that blacks in this culture were materially better off than in any other country they had been to. That all was replaced with Marxist dialectic, where proof itself, proof and reason and the empirical method and the scientific revolution. There's an article in the paper this weekend. The Enlightenment, one African-American professor said, mm-hmm. was nothing more than white supremacy, right? Mm-hmm. All these great leaps forward in Western culture, Marxist dialectic just reduced them to ideology. So what if you had to say in one sentence, what is critical race theory?
Mm-hmm.
It is the replacement of proof, logic, reason and science with absolutely subjective ideology. right? It's all Marxist ideology, but the subjective ideology over the material and empirical truths of Western culture, right? So there's no proof that the founding fathers were white supremacists. There's no proof of that at all. There's no proof that the Constitution was designed to punish people who weren't white. It's not true. But that you, but anybody who cites the truth and logic and history and fact now is considered white supremacist, right? Everything that the West has built its greatness upon is all now subject to the claim of white supremacy. That's all it is. It's a lie.
Yep. Uncle Milty.
You know, there is a major difference, though, I think, in my opinion, between what you just said about the Marxist dialectic and critical race theory as it's being practiced now. And that's that critical race theory only applies to the United States of America.
Yeah, nowhere else. And by the way, critical race theory will never tell you that at the height of, right before the Civil War in 1963, we had only 347,000 families with slaves in the South. That was about it. That was it. Out of 30 million people in the United States, 347,000 people own slaves.
And well, so, I would say the it applies to Europe, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Europe is going through the same market.
And
the
bigger. It was bigger in Europe. Yeah, yep. England had more slaves than we did. I mean,
and what France is going through now, even now, I mean, the same, our culture is horrible. And isn't it ironic? It's almost like a correlation, right? The more refugees that enter your country, whether legally or illegally, the more you hate your country, the more you are accused of doing less for people, right? Mm-hmm. So you bring in more and more refugees, and you tell the refugee, what happened in France? They were unhappy in Italy last week, that they didn't think that their refugee quarters were good enough. And so they started accusing the Italians of being racist. They were there less than 24 hours. A day or two they were in the system in Italy, and they decided that their accommodations, which met their basic needs, were not good enough. And so what was the claim? These refugees already know it. They're the ones in the country seeking succor, and within 24 hours they're telling you how racist you are, and the countries are caving to it.
Amen. Amen. And I'm glad you defined that, too, because a lot of people, critical race theory is what I'm talking about, too, because we are a nation of terms now and definitions that are completely twisted and we don't understand. And critical race theory is a heavy, heavy new sort of ideology in our public school system, correct?
Yep. And it's based on hypocrisy. Maybe another example of this. So we got one crazy, so-called crazy congresswoman from Florida who the Democrats have now removed, almost unprecedented. They have removed Republican from all her committee appointments that the Republicans gave her. The alarming number of Republicans voted to do it because you can't say crazy things in Congress. And yet AOC and Ilhan Omar and Maxine Waters and about seven and Schiff can say the dumbest things on record and the most dishonest things and nothing happens to them. So one kooky Florida congresswoman is completely shut down. But the absolute wing nut lunatics of the Democrat Party, people as unhinged as Maxine Waters, they can say whatever they want. And there's never a single reckoning to what they say. The fascism comes in the selective application of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's tough. It's tough right now to try to get the truth past the narrative. And we are going to be surrounded by this narrative with Biden as president and all of these people like a Maxine Waters, who absolutely lies to the camera. I have her on tape telling people to get in people's faces, yet she'll lie and say she wasn't. AOC lies and says that the people at the Capitol were coming to get her. It was a cop. It was a cop. Her office wasn't even in the Capitol. She's not even in near that building. And so all these lies, and now we even have it on tape. We even have proof. It's not going to matter now. What's going to matter is them saying it, right?
Well, look at the reality. Trump was a monster because he was a sexual harasser of women. He was a profiteer on foreign countries, off of foreign countries to get his millions. He was crass. He was crude. He was a racist and a bigot, right?
Right.
Well, look at the history of Joe Biden. He's a serial groper, and nobody paid any attention to Tara Reid. He's a serial groper. We have all sorts of creepy clips of him feeling up little girls. His whole family enriched themselves from places like China. He's guilty of that. How many racist things has he said? Everything from Barack Obama's a clean, articulate black guy to you can't walk into a 7-Eleven without seeing an Indian. Yep. So literally everything Trump was said to be, Biden was.
Yes.
And in order to get rid of Trump, they elected Biden. There's your Orwellian thinking right there.
Isn't it crazy? And how do we deal with the crazy, Dr. Pesta? Because I think people are going, how do I deal with this in my daily life? You're shown the lies. You're shown the hypocrisy. And hypocrisy has exceeded itself. What do they call it when it's just so insane? It's beyond hypocrisy. Uncle Milton?
The ruling class of this country, the vast majority of them have become sociopaths.
That is the definition of, you're just beyond that. Now you're just lying and getting away with it.
Well, all I know is that as bad as it's been, November proved one thing. Now you don't have the ballot box either.
Yeah.
Now you no longer can guarantee that if enough people get mad enough, they can change it. They're working, trust me, they're working on 2022, and they're already working on 2024. They are putting things in place right now are going to make it easier, not harder, to discount your vote in the future. I said in the week before the last election, if this one is lost, I don't see Republicans controlling the House or the Senate or the Congress again, or the presidency in my lifetime. I believe that. I don't think you can go back now. And I think November pointed out to people that on top of everything else we lost, the schools, the corporations, the Hollywood, the sports, but on top of everything else we lost now we lost the guarantee of free and fair elections. And like everything else, that's not coming back.
No.
I believe we are at the point, though, where if in 22, if the people of the country see that we really, truly don't have any possibility of winning an election anymore, things might get pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the media is allowed to say that the majority of our country wants to impeach Donald Trump. Now, we all know that's not true, but they're allowed to say this in the news. They're also allowed to say riot aftermath, still shaking lawmakers, troops stand guard. There's no siege going on.
Nothing.
Nobody's there to do anything, but they can keep the headlines up. And so we're going to continuously get lied to. And the only way we can turn that around is to turn it off. That's the only way, is they don't get our eyeballs. But I don't know how to get that message to people.
Well, you can turn it off and walk away. You can leave them alone, but they won't leave you alone.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. And right now, North Dakota legislators are planning to nullify Biden's executive orders at the state level for the emergency. You've got about 5 different states right now working against their governors. So this is really good sign. There are some good things happening.
Now you know where the National Guard's going to go after they're done with Washington.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, it is some good news, though, because they've used and abused this emergency order to the point where people are finally starting to say no more. In California, they're saying no to the $4 hourly hero pay ordinance. Go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Well, the more they fight it now, the more the progressives fight against us fighting back, the worse they look and the more people are waking up.
Yeah,
well, it's going to snowball.
When Trump was president and the left talked about secession, no one called them traitors.
Mm-hmm.
But the right now, who could make a much better go of it, some of the red states could make a much better go of it on their own. Now that's going to be seen as insurrection.
Yes. Yes. And domestic terrorism, if we do anything. Yeah. There are articles in papers all across the country right now about how to deal with the Christian nationalist. It's such a virus, right? Isn't that the new headline?
A Christian, don't be fooled. A Christian nationalist is simply somebody who believes what the Bible says is true. That's a nationalist.
Yes.
If you believe Christ is more important to world culture and your family than a government is, you're a Christian nationalist.
Like they say, the infusion of love of country and love of God. How dare we? How dare we, right? Thank you, Dr. Duke Pesta. Catch the Dr. Duke Show. You'll love it. I really appreciate you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. Isn't he fantastic?
Yep.
Don't go anywhere.